We're going to go ahead and get started in just a minute here. As we're getting ready to start, there should be at least one Bible at each of your tables. I'm going to invite you to open up to Matthew 13, starting in verse 24. Starting in verse 24. So those of you that weren't here in December when we did our Intergenerational Education Hour, this is what our confirmants use every week to dig into our lessons. So both high school and middle school age, we work together and we dig into these texts using this handout. And it's the same one that we read in church on Sunday morning. And as such, we get an overview of the Bible using the narrative lectionary. So we started digging into Matthew at the start of Advent, and so we're about halfway through the book of Matthew now. If you don't know, Matthew has 28 chapters, and so we are smack dab in the middle of Jesus' ministry here. And today, we're going to be looking at the kingdom of heaven. And so, normally I would offer and ask one or more of our youth, depending on the length of the reading, to read through the passage. But since we're recording this, and I'm the only one with the microphone, I'm going to read it. and then we're going to do a little bit of instruction, and there's going to be actually a lot of activity time in just a little bit here. So, is everyone at Matthew 13, starting at verse 24? All right, so I'll have you follow along as I read through our lesson for today. He, being Jesus, put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" And he answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" And he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He then told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. "I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world." Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us this parable of the weeds in the field." And he answered them, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the many enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burnt up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. So this is a lot in a relatively short passage. It's only 20 verses. And I'm going to start by giving you a little bit of history on the importance of parables, which I actually just learned recently. I'm assuming we all know that parables are teaching stories, right? They're stories with a message, and Jesus uses them throughout the gospel. What I recently learned was that parables are actually a common teaching tool for the Middle East, and have been since before Jesus was around. It was how they taught their morals. It's how they taught their lessons. And this would have been understood and known to the people that Jesus was talking to. This is probably part of the reason why we very rarely get parables explained in the Bible like we do now. It would have been known. Some of these may have been known stories and parables. Some of them may have been twists on other known stories. Some of them would have been new. But parables were a common teaching technique, and part of the learning was understanding what those stories meant. Which I found was really fascinating, because we think of parables almost kind of like we do fables, right? How many of you remember Aesop's fables? These are these great teaching stories, and we draw parallels to those with Jesus' parables. And although there are similarities, certainly, this was certainly a different way of teaching than what we're used to. So teaching this series of parables like Jesus does here wouldn't have been out of practice, especially since Jesus doesn't explain this to the crowd. He walks away and just tells the disciples when they ask. I'm a firm believer that the disciples were more like you and me than we realize, and asking lots of questions of Jesus, and there was probably a lot more silly questions that didn't make it into the Bible. We all love the disciples, but some of them weren't the sharpest tools in the shed, which gives me hope, because sometimes I ask silly questions too. So I just thought it was a really interesting part about parables, to get this here, and then right away, if we were to keep reading, we'd go into more parables. And that's such an important part of Jesus' teaching style. I think having that little bit of background is really important. And rather than dig into each of these parables and try to give each of them like 5 minutes of explanation, which really isn't doing any of them justice, I thought I'd dig into what each of these parables are trying to teach us about. And what is the one comparison that Jesus makes with each of these parables? What is he comparing them to? I'll give you a hint, it's right in verse 24.
It's also the title of the lesson, the sermon.
Yep. Anyone can shout it out, it's okay.
Kingdom of Heaven.
Exactly. How many of you have heard the term Kingdom of Heaven before? Yeah. We also use, Kingdom of Heaven is pretty unique to Matthew. Most of the other Gospels use Kingdom of God. Those are synonymous for most of how we understand and read Scripture. But we're going to use that language of Kingdom of Heaven, because that's what we're looking at as Matthew today. So how many of you know how to define what the Kingdom of Heaven is? It's a hard one, right? Like, we hear it all the time, we say it all the time, we sing it. We even proclaim it in the creed that your kingdom will come once again, right? That's part of the Apostles' Creed with Jesus. But we have a hard time defining it. Now, if I wanted to use the fewest words possible to define the Kingdom of Heaven, it is now and not yet. Which doesn't really help things, it just kind of muddies the waters, right? So, what do we say when we mean now? As Lutherans, we say it's now and not yet, because Jesus helps to bring about the kingdom of heaven here and now, and has brought this idea of the kingdom being present with his walking the earth. And through his life, death, and resurrection, we get this new era of our relationship with God through the covenant that we get in communion. Right? You hear those words every Sunday? This is the covenant. But at the same time, we only get a piece of what the kingdom of heaven is, because the kingdom of heaven isn't fully present as long as there is sin in the world. Sin breaks down relationship. Sin is what causes pain and suffering in the world. We talked about this actually just on Friday on our youth not quite long yet, about how when we break down relationships, sin enters in, and when sin is present, the kingdom of heaven is not fully present, because that isn't God's will for the world. The kingdom of heaven is all about the full realization of God's will for the world, and sin goes against that will. And so this is where we as Lutherans are really good in our theology, but really hard to understand, that we live in this weird place of the kingdom of heaven is now, and that we believe that we go out in the world and we live God's word and we share that message with everyone, and it's not yet, because there's still sin. And Luther says that even you as individuals live in that same, I'm going to use a big fancy word, duality. You live in both of those at the same time. It's something called the simul justus et peccator, meaning you're simultaneously a sinner and a saint. Through Jesus, you are made a saint, your sins are forgiven, and at the same time, after you're forgiven, do we stop sinning? No, we go out and we do another thing. Whether it's intentional or not, it's just part of being human. We mess up, and that's okay. We receive this great gift of grace, and we try to live our best, but we know that we're going to fail. It's a good thing to be Lutheran. We live into that grace and lean into it really heavily. I know I do. So in the first parable, we get to see this now and not yet, and both seeds being planted. The weeds and the grain planted side by side. And early on, I bet you couldn't tell. How many of you are able to identify a plant within the first day or two after it's sprouting? It's nearly impossible. And with some plants, you can't even tell until they're in the sun. I can't anyway. Some people are better than others, but it definitely would have been a challenge for some folks. So we live into this duality, and the realization is that sometimes it does more damage to pull things out early. With the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, we see God speaking action into the world, and the kingdom of heaven comes to us in those parables. Do you all have a slightly better understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is? Does that help understand things? That the kingdom of heaven is now, because God's will is into the world. We go out, we serve our neighbors, we love, we share the gospel. But it's not fully here yet, because sin is still present, and we break down relationships. And until sin is fully conquered at Christ's return, we will always live in this now and not yet. Any questions so far?
And you hear, and then you go to mass, you read it early the next morning, so she didn't.
Yeah. So Martin Luther had that same kind of like fear and anxiety of not having all of his sins forgiven. And that's why he leaned so hard on the grace, because he realized he couldn't think of all the things he did wrong to ask for forgiveness. He would literally make himself sick with stress and spend hours in the confessional for that poor priest. who just any little thing that he thought was a sin. And so I think that really informed his understanding of wanting, us wanting to not have to live into that same stress, because if I had to sit down and just think of all the things that I did in just one day, it'd be overwhelming, because we don't always think of all the little things that we do that really do break down relationship, even if they're not obvious. We think of sin as sometimes this really big thing that is like, I have to physically hurt someone or really cause it pain. But that's not how it works. And Luther understood that sin was equal in God's eye and wanted to make sure that all of those, both little and big, were forgiven. So, yeah.
We don't always know what we've done either. We don't always acknowledge.
Yep, we don't. And that's the big thing. We don't always understand what our sins are. And that's why in our liturgy, we name the sins that we know and we don't know. And we ask for those forgiveness for both of those. Anything else? So you all are like now experts on the kingdom of heaven. You can go out and tell all your friends, I know what the kingdom of heaven is. And believe it or not, it's not Disneyland. So I'm going to give each of your tables a challenge. And this is where working together is going to be helpful. I want you to create your own parable for the kingdom of heaven. So if you flip your sheet over on the back side, you have a few questions. I'm going to give you, let's say, about 10 minutes to work together and come up with your own parable of what the kingdom of heaven is like. We had three examples three different parables of what the kingdom of heaven is like. But I'm going to ask you to go one step further, right? So we have one parable that says the kingdom of heaven is X because of Y in that first parable of the weeds and the wheat. And we have two others that just give the example of what the kingdom of heaven is like. So I want you to come up with your own example. It could be anything. It could be food related. It could be gardening. It could be about video games for all I care. But then I want you to take the next step and say, for example, the kingdom of heaven is like a shoe store because everyone shall find the right fit. You know, whatever you want to do, but I want you to explain why and figure out what that looks like and do it at your tables and work together, because I'm going to ask you to share once everyone is done. All right, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have, or if you need any help with coming up with ideas, and let's kind of see what you all come up with in your own parables. And I'm really curious to see what happens. So feel free to work together. If you want to combine tables, that's fine. And we'll be good. I'll give you another minute, and then we will ask for volunteers. All right, so I'm going to invite everyone to come back to share. I will start by sharing my example. So here's what I picked. I said the kingdom of heaven is like a national park because all are welcome and we live in harmony with creation. And I picked this because I can't imagine the kingdom of heaven without creation being honored and cared for. So, who would like to share first? Which table? I'll invite everyone to share at some point. But I know I heard a couple of really interesting ones. I'm curious to see how they connect. So who would like to go first? Awesome. So let me repeat all those. We have the kingdom of heaven is like a fish tank because the filter helps to clean the water, which is like cleaning of our sins. We have the kingdom of heaven as an iceberg because there's a little bit that is shown that is powerful and important and majestic, but there is a lot more that isn't seen and isn't fully known. And then we have the kingdom of heaven is like Minecraft because you get to be your own character, and it's always better when you work together. Did the final table have a piece to share? So the kingdom of heaven is like a pencil because you can always erase, and that is like the forgiveness of sins. Those are great, great ways to help us understand the kingdom of heaven. And that's why you can understand why parables are such great teaching tools, because each one of those talked a little bit differently about what the kingdom of heaven is like. They're not perfect in that they don't cover everything, but they are perfect in that they help us understand what part of it. That was great. Thank you so much all for your sharing and your hard work. Give yourselves a round of applause. You did a great job. So now thinking back to our parables from our Bible story for today, I want you to think for 10 seconds about the three parables that we have. The parable of the wheat and the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the flour and leaven. It didn't quite make it to bread, but it was the flour of the yeast. Which of those three is your favorite and why? So I'm gonna give you just a couple seconds to think about that. And when you've thought had a chance, I'll ask for a volunteer to kind of share what their thoughts are. Is there anybody ready to share their favorite parable? Jack, do you have a favorite? Awesome. So you like the parable of mustard seed because it starts out as something small, but it can grow into something really big where you said the birds, but like everyone has a place in it. Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Who else would like to share next? That's a great point. So much of the Bible is focused on male figures, and it's rare that women get lifted up. And we, in the parable of the yeast, we have a woman who is lifted up as part of the parable. That's great. Anyone else would like to share their favorite parable for today?
Shirley and I were talking about how difficult it is to separate the wheat from the weeds. In just sort of regular gardening experience. And so I think we were wondering about that must be a mystery only God can understand.
Yeah, the for the folks that may be watching this later, that the parable of the wheats and the weeds, I identify with that too, like Dana. It's hard to differentiate between what is wheat and what is or weeds and what is not a weed. I know I've pulled out plants that were looked like weeds and they weren't. Don't tell my wife.
I think we all are made up of wheat and weeds too.
That's a great
point. We're very similar to wheat and weeds.
That was great. But we all are wheat and weeds. Sometimes more one than the other, depending on the day. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes the perspective of what a weed is important as well. All right. So a couple things before we close. Feel free to take these home with you and read through them. I didn't read the lesson exactly, but we covered all the material in there, and this is part of the at-home resource for our families. It sends out every week to all of our families for them to read through the materials and help them understand the lesson and the theme that we're focusing on. On one side of the back, on the bottom right corner, we just have a fun little, like, fake social media piece that sometimes is silly, sometimes is serious. But on the other side, on the left corner, we have our home reflection. And that's designed to help bring out a different faith practice every week, focusing on the theme and tying in with that. So I encourage you to take it home if you want to practice the faith. Practice yourself. This isn't just limited to our youth. These are good things for all of us to practice. This week, we encourage you to help bring about the kingdom. We are called as Christians to serve God's will, and in doing so, we bring about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We do this in a lot of different ways in the church. One of the big ones that we do every year, not just at St. Andrew's, but as a full denomination, we have God's Work in Our Hands Sunday, where churches across the country do service projects in their community. So I encourage you to actually find an organization, a person, a project that helps serve a community or an area that you're passionate about, and find a way to support them. And it may not mean that you are able to go out and actually volunteer this week, because scheduling things in a week can be hard sometimes. But find a way that you can be supporting them, whether it's scheduling a volunteer time in the future, giving donations to them that are helpful to them, sharing their message on social media, or whatever. So that is our home reflection faith practice for this week. So, would anyone like to read our closing prayer that is on the back of our sheet for today? Go ahead, Dave. Thank you.
Our closing prayer. Dear God, we ask that you help and guide us so that we can do your will and help to bring about your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all for being here this morning. I hope you're able to enjoy the sunshine. It's supposed to be a wonderful day out, and that you all have a great week.